Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Lane. So Lane, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Lane Levine. I live in Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm the founder and owner of A Friendly Bread, which is a company that started as an artisan bread company, and now we make frozen sourdough grilled cheese for the grocery store.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
I spent the first 12 years after college doing nonprofit work. And I found that meaningful for a while and began to long for holding a real thing in my hand that I could sell and participate in the economy with. And bread was something that was not really a part of my life. I actually was not a bread person. I hated how bread would always get soggy and I never ate sandwiches. But then there was a fateful evening when I was supposed to bring a challah for a Shabbat dinner to a friend's house and the bakery was closed. And so I had to teach myself how to make challah real quickly. And ultimately that led to years of experimentation and realizing that when I made my own bread and had control over it, I could really enjoy it. And especially sourdough has this chewy, crusty texture that really doesn't get soggy much. And so that was really the perfect match for me as a consumer. And ultimately, I had sourdough bread baking as a side hobby while I was in my last nonprofit job. And I was just kind of losing hope in my ability to make change in the world as a nonprofit employee. And so that hobby existing at the time allowed me to, you know, start a little side business out of my house. And ultimately, actually, with the support of my boss, who was one of my best bread customers, and actually helped me at my farmer's market stand a few times, I decided to leave the nonprofit world and go all in my bread business.
Awesome. So essentially, it was a hobby turned into a business. And I guess as of today, right? So are your customers mostly like in grocery or do they buy from your website? Like, what does that look like where people can actually find your bread?
Well, you know, we stopped doing the fresh bread as our main product about a year ago. And so, you know, up until then, it was, you know, home bread delivery, and we were selling fresh bread in small grocers. And then once we transitioned the whole thing away to being a frozen grilled cheese company, the main source of distribution right now is in grocery stores. So people head to the freezer aisle of we'll be in about 1,000 grocery store doors by May. And so people get in the freezer aisle, and now we're also starting to explore the world of food service. So we're selling, the grilled cheese is being sold as a hot item on college campuses and some coffee shops. And we're starting to grow that channel this year.
So in terms of both your channels, is it more like regional, like on the East Coast, or is it like all across the country? What does that look like?
We have built a lot of density on the East Coast. We have started to launch in a few chains actually out in the Pacific Northwest. Just so happens that there are a few chains that were really interested in our product out there. And so mostly everything is concentrated in the Mid-Atlantic or the broader Eastern Seaboard. But then we have this little outpost of a bunch of stores out in the Seattle area. But, you know, very, very densely focused in Maryland. Like, we have Giant Foods, which is the main conventional store in Maryland. We just launched in Wegmans actually this week, you know, which is on our side of the country as well. So, and a few others like that.
For sure. Well, obviously, like, I'm in Texas. So do you guys plan on kind of expanding across the country soon? Or what does that look like?
Well, we do actually have a little bit of presence right in your hometown. So if you're aware of Foxtrot Market,
yes,
that's a series of stores. And we just launched with them in January. So you are able to find frozen grilled cheese today, if you wanted.
Awesome. So in terms of like expansion, like, is your plan to be in more grocers across the country, or like, what does that look like for this year and again for next year as you guys are scaling up your business?
We have realized that even though we've been able to get into a lot of stores, sometimes being in the conventional stores, like I mentioned, Giant, for instance, the sales aren't so great. The customers are really looking for their bread and butter, main kind of things. And so what? So my goals for expansion are more to focus on these specialty stores like Wegmans, like the Fresh Market. We'll be launching in some other larger specialty chains later this year. And so it's not about necessarily as much big growth as possible because we could kind of fall on our faces if we do too much of that. However, with the food service channel, like the colleges and the coffee shops, there's really very little downside to expanding into those. We know what happens is if you build a relationship with a coffee chain, say, that means that they're going to put your item on a list of five menu items, whereas in a grocery store, you have to compete with 30,000 other products, And so once someone decides, yeah, this grilled cheese will go well at this coffee shop, that's going to be a really lucrative relationship. And so I'm kind of pressing go on that kind of thing. And with retail, trying to be a little more careful.
For sure. So I guess, like, even though that you're not like a super focused like on retail, but you are in retailer. So I guess, like, what have you done to get people to buy it? Do you guys do like in-store sampling and or trials or running ads? Like, how do you get people to actually like get, find out about your product and give it a shot?
It's hard. Yes, we do the in-store demos. There's a limit to that, because it's really hard to find people who are really good at doing that. And so once you find someone, even if they do it full time, they can only cover a certain number of stores, there's just not that many resources out there to do sampling on a large scale. But we do that on a small scale, and that helps to get some recognition. On social media and all that, I've found that it's nice to remind people that I exist and that we exist. But I don't find that people are like driven to the stores by some posts that I make on social media. So that has not always been that successful. We've run some paid ads, all that stuff. And then really like what feels like the least creative but most effective thing is you just run promos. You put your product on discount and more people discover it when they see a price, a sales tag. And so a lot of times it's those traditional things and just, activating whatever parts of your own network already know you.
For sure. So how do you guys focus on a customer lifetime value, like once somebody buys from you one time?
It's hard because we're far away from the end consumer because we're in retail. So sometimes the focus on building a strong relationship is focusing on being a good partner to the retail store that we're with. And that means being in open, regular communication and providing updates to the category manager. It means showing up and doing those demos. It means doing what you say you're going to do. A lot of that. So then what happens when you show up and are good as a partner, then that retail partner is more likely to put your product on an end cap or is more likely to talk to other customers as they're walking around the store and say, oh, I know, this business, they're awesome. And so that's a big key to building the relationship. In terms of the individual consumer, I think what we can do is at least when they come to us in a passive manner, like if I get a phone call on my customer service line, or if somebody reaches out and has a question, to be really strong in that regard and just be really if you call me, I will answer and I will be your best friend. That's not going to be for everyone because not everyone's going to pick up the phone and call, but I'll give you a really good experience if you do that. Even if you're complaining, you're going to end up getting, a whole explanation and apology and free product and all that stuff. So, building those relationships when they present ourselves, I think is important, and it helps with word of mouth as well.
For sure. So in terms of like your channel of more of like, college campuses and coffee shops, what does that look like for you? Like, I know you mentioned that that's like a better upside there. So is it also right now just focusing like on the East Coast, or is the goal eventually to go nationwide, colleges and coffee shops across the country?
On the college side, I have focused on at least pitching colleges that are nearby. And that's only because my current distribution network is only equipped to do that. So the distributors that we work with right now, I know that I can reach, whatever college I pitch because I'm set up with that distributor. Once we get in with some kind of larger national distributor to do that, then yeah, I mean, there's no good reason not to try to pitch broader with colleges, for example. With coffee shops, I think something's going on out there with coffee shops and convenience stores. So we have out in like Maryland and Pennsylvania, we have Wawa, and that's just like one example of these kind of gas station convenience stores that are starting to elevate their offerings. They have not just like a hot dog on a, like a metal roll thing, but they also have the Turbo Chef, which is like the fancy Starbucks machine that heats your stuff up, really quickly, but really crispy. And they're all starting to be equipped with these things. And so coffee shops, coffee chains are, I think, specifically trying to mimic, how you can get a grilled cheese at a Starbucks and they'll heat it up for you. So I think these other convenience stores and coffee chains are deciding that that's one of the core things they want on their menu. And what we offer is a premium version. It's really not like a white bread American cheese. It's like fancy sourdough, fancy cheese, all that. And so they're seeing an opportunity to put that on their menu. And if we get in with one of those chains, that's not one coffee shop. That could be 900 coffee shops. If it were to be Starbucks, they say, oh, we want you to make our grilled cheese instead of somebody else. That's a few thousand, 10,000, So, again, being one of four items on their menu can spell a lot of success. And that would require a huge capacity ramp up for us as well. We basically have to change turn from a kitchen to becoming a plant, a manufacturing plant. So
Right.
I'm ready for that. I can't wait for something big like that to drop.
For sure. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you face in your business?
I mean, two major challenges. One is velocity, meaning getting those customers to keep buying that product off that shelf in those stores. And the other is cash flow. I have been lucky to get certain loans here and there, but it's until you really, really hit your stride and figure out, the channel that's really just gonna like keep generating business for you, it's really hard to keep money around.
So, are you guys looking to like raise more money now?
The tough part is that so far I've never raised equity money. It's all
Okay.
been, and I've got to this point where cash flow is a problem. We're launching in all these stores. That's cool, but the numbers don't look amazing, right? Like we have
Right.
this track record of maybe like forecasted sales that didn't turn out, a lot of
Right.
cash losses. And that's not an attractive story to tell to investors when they look back at, the last 12 months or so. And so I was thinking of it, but I mean, one, you get a lot of advice when you start asking for money. And a lot of the advice felt like almost unrealistic because it's like anything besides here's money, it feels like something I can't accomplish. Like, oh, you should go do this. This will get you, And one person was just like, oh, I think what you need to do is get profitable. And I was like, well, yeah, sure, that would be wonderful. But I realized that my main problem, thank God, my main problem was just volume. It's not that our costs are too high. So when we reach certain volume, then we start making money. It's really
Right.
not a margin problem. And so I really just spent more time developing some of these, pitching these colleges and developing relationships with some small distributors that could easily and quickly get out to these colleges. And in January, we had our first cash flow positive month, in
Wow.
years,
Wow.
So it's I think like just selling is the most important thing right now.
For sure. Sell as much as you can. And as you said, right, making sure that you're making profit, because that's a pretty important part of any business.
Yeah, I would love to make profit one day.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024, people are looking for use case of things like AI. So do you guys use AI in your business? And if not, like, where do you think that AI could potentially help you guys out?
That's a good question. I don't use it right now. Oh, well, okay, no, that's not true. I wrote a couple job descriptions using AI. So, I think that's just one example of like an administrative task where I said, write me a job description for a baker that does this, and then write me a job description for someone who would manage a team of bakers that did this. And that helped, I did my own little edits on it. I don't go to it very much, but I think, I don't know, the other things that are like tedious and complicated have to do with planning, production planning. So it may be that you would engage AI to, to make some kind of complex production plan. What, if we have a bunch of purchase orders that are all at different times, but I would, some of that could just be get a good software program. I don't know if that's
Right,
AI
right.
specific, but that's just a little bit of an example.
Yeah, maybe content writing if you're going to be doing more social media stuff like that,
That's
potentially.
true. Yeah.
So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I mean, well, I wish they would have told me how hard it was going to be. And that, you hear a lot, I heard a lot at the beginning that, it takes 3 to 5 years to, to know if you have successful business. And I remember at the beginning and me and maybe other people around me saying like, oh, well, I'm smarter than that. I can figure that out in less than 3 to 5 years. But it's just not about that. It's about sticking around. Like you can't I think the most important thing for me to have learned was that creating something from nothing necessarily means that everybody was doing fine before you created your thing from nothing. And so you don't just get to exist just because you, put something into the world. Like you have to stick around long enough to be real and then find a way into being something that people actually need because they were doing fine without me before. And that's what sticking around is about. It's not about finding the quickest way to the end point. It's about becoming more and more real and more valid as you grow.
Right, for sure. Like it's a constant iteration, kind of like what you mentioned earlier about, you see that retail is not working as well. So maybe focusing more on the colleges, things like that, seeing like where you can get more profit, where you can sell more products. It's constant iteration and seeing what's working. That's kind of what you're doing. Like as you mentioned, January has been your first profitable month for a long time, and that's awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
I really hope that this is true. And so we are working on a couple of these deals with large scale coffee chains or convenience stores. And so what I hope to report back to you is that we ramped up, fulfilled, that the beginnings of that relationship. And now, we'll then have really dramatically increased the size of what we do. And that because of the margins that we've built into the business model, that growth has meant stability and profitability. I really do believe that when we grow our top line, that the company will be fine. And I feel like we're close to something big starting. It's not happened yet, and there's no like secret thing that I can't reveal. It like we have not signed anything or made anything happen, but I believe that we're close and that we will have gotten over that hump by a year from
For sure. And we're rooting for you guys. And that's really exciting stuff. So, if
now.
somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact with you.
Sure. Yeah. Our website is www.afriendlybread.com. Don't forget the A at the beginning, A Friendly Bread. And then we're on Instagram, Facebook, and a little bit of TikTok. So we have, just some cute content on there.
Awesome. Well, Wayne, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Of course. Thanks. All right, bye.
All right. See ya.